Okay, women shiur Sunday, whoever's listening to the tape cannot tell, but it's sunny outside, which is a change. You know, there's actually a din that Beis Din is not supposed to sit at night, on certain dinim. I mean, it's a lot of exceptions and a lot of qualifications, but there is a basic halacha that says that. And you sort of wonder why not. And you see, but before there was electricity, night was dark, and it really impeded.
It's still dark at night.
It impeded. You know, you're questioning witnesses. You're trying to figure something out. It really impedes. You know, getting at the truth, and you want to have clarity of thought. You want to be clear. So I think that's maybe what it's based on. And who knows? Okay, we're learning Shaar HaBechina. Shaar HaBechina, again, was surrounded by miracles. We're surrounded by miracles, and because, as the Chavis Olva says in the beginning of the Shaar, because they take place constantly, and because they're part of the natural world that we live in, we're used to it, and we have to catch ourselves and say, no. Bechina means to examine, which means to examine it, to think about it, to contemplate it, and through that, to reach an awareness of that there's obviously a creator, and this is, he says, this is a bridge to Shaar HaYichud, that you become aware of Hashem, and it's like, it's proof that how could there not be a creator? You see design, you see masterpiece of design, like we'll see today. Anything you look into, there's always exceptions, because there's always reasons why things go off track. But the world is full of design and chokhmah, and things work and fit, even different systems work together, and this amazing, amazing complexity, the Chavis Halvavus, it was just, he couldn't have dreamed of the knowledge we have now when he wrote this Shaar. You know, he writes one sentence, the baby's in the womb, and then it gets born. He had no idea of what we know now. He had no idea. And he writes, it's very masudar, and the baby grows, and it grows a little each month, and then when it's time to come out, it comes out, which is a miracle in itself, and that's what he wants you to think about. But he had no idea of what we know now. I mean, we could track it from before fertilization. We can track it like almost day by day, certainly week by week. And the Nisim, he just alludes to that it gets as much food as it needs, and the food supply increases as the babies, as the fetus's needs increase. And like he says it very casually and matter-of-factly, but that's amazing. That's amazing. We're surrounded by Nisim. For the last few hundred years, I would say, the world has turned to be atheistic. No matter, it doesn't matter how many people go to church or how many people go to synagogue, for that matter. The world, whether it's Darwin or Newton or science or whatever it is, because science has discovered so much and they feel very puffed up and self-important. It's just everything is, and just, you know, kind of nature, and everybody, you buy into it, and you're not talking about banning teaching evolution from the classroom. You just read anything, and it says nature has provided that, and that's damaging. That's evil. That's seeps in because you know, nature has provided. God has provided. And I might tie on the Frum newspapers when they talk about events, which is history. They don't talk about it from the perspective that the Chavis Halvavus would want them to talk about it. They put God on the editorial page, where he belongs. But the news page, where they, that's the statement they're making. And the news is, this one did this because of this, and this one did this because of this, and then the whole thing can exist without there being a God, if you read it. So really, Shaar HaBechina is very, 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 very valuable, besides that it is the springboard to Avodas Hashem, because you become full of gratitude. You learn about the digestive system. If you take off 6 months to learn about the digestive system and the miracles that go on, then you say, okay, I finished learning. Let's say it takes 6 months. Take a lifetime, for sure. But let's say you do it for 6 months, and then you make a bracha. It's like a whole different experience. It's an entirely different experience. It's a bracha machalom, prepares, and you thank Hashem for giving you an apple. It's like, whoa. And who knows? We might even start making bracha achronos, which has become a forgotten art. Because bracha achrona is really the digestive system and what the food does and how it's mazing me and how it gives me nourishment and the blood delivers to each cell exactly what that cell needs, and it takes an apple, and it's just amazing. You couldn't do it if you build the biggest computers and the biggest factories. You would not be able to do what's done with an apple in a person's body every time they eat an apple. So the Chavis HaLevus wants us to, and he was clueless. I mean, if he only knew. And he writes that he's only touching the tip of the iceberg, so he must have known something, because he writes a lot. We didn't start it yet. He's first started talking about the miracle of existence and the miracle of organic matter, because where did the miracle of existence, like, where did it come from? Okay, the miracle of organic matter, because where did organic matter come from? It came from inorganic matter. So how does that happen? Then the miracle of food, he says, because at some point it becomes something that nourishes. It's a miracle. Everything's a miracle. And then he treats this in two lines, like the two lines. He throws in two lines. And then the miracle, somewhere something becomes life, a living organism. A plant is not living. It's organic, it grows, it needs its own nourishment, but it doesn't need parnasa, it makes its own. Wouldn't that be good? If you were a plant, you wouldn't have to go to work, you would just make your own food and your own shelter and your own everything. And then there's the miracle of life, again, the miracle of existence, the miracle of organic matter, the miracle of food, which is a whole different thing. It's not, and not every plant is food. Not every organic matter has the koach to nourish. And then we know, vitamin A, B, vitamins, minerals, nutrients. So much. And it's refuah, plants are medicine. Okay, then somewhere along the line, we just say these words. It's terrible to just say these words, but this is what we've spent the last few weeks learning. Somewhere along the line, it becomes life. Because it gives life. It gives life to an animal, to people. Then somewhere along the line, there's a person. There's the miracle of a person who's like, can't compare a person to an animal. A person has thoughts, even without the neshama. He doesn't even get to the neshama yet. I'm going in order. I'm chazering. A person has thoughts and ideas and goals and aspirations and principles. Where did that come from? An animal doesn't have that. So a person is born. A person is born and he has all these things. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. And then the neshama, which is indescribable. But everything I said is indescribable. And then the neshama is indescribable. And then he says, okay, like, where is the seat of the neshama? And he goes through certain parts of the body that he held, either metaphysically or physically or in Svara or from Psukim and Tehillim. It's not clear to me how. And he goes through different parts of the basic life-giving forces in a person, and he says that's the seat of the neshama. And of course, it's all kosher with the blood. That's what we see, whether it's the blood and the veins and the arteries. this is the life-giving force of a person, and that's where the seat of the neshama lies. You're not going to see it, but that's where the neshama is. Kashur, I saw Baruch Ato Hashem Rofei Chol Bosor Umafli La'asos. So what does it mean, Umafli? That's Asher Yotzer, in case you're saying Asher Yotzer. Umafli La'asos means, in the Lashon of today's teenagers, Hashem is amazing. Hashem does amazing things. That's what it means. That is the literal definition. So what does he do that's amazing? I mean, you just said the whole bracha. Uvaravon akovim, the kovim, chaludim, chaludim, galuiv yudu, alufnei chesech vadech, Hashem yipseach echad mehem, oizasim echad mehem, etc., etc., etc. And now you give like the punchline, rofei chol basar, okay, and he does what's amazing. So there's a few pshatim in the Shulchan Aruch, and one of the pshatim is that he ties the neshama, which is a dover ruchni, with the body, which is a dover gashmi, and connects them, because when we die, the neshama goes away. And if the neshama goes away, we die. So there's some connection between, he created some connection where heaven touches earth. Where heaven touches earth, where the neshama touches the physical and becomes part of it, and they are a team. And one can't exist without the other, not in this world. And that's amazing. Like that on top of everything else that's amazing, that's super amazing. Because how do you take apples and oranges? much more than apples and oranges. Dover ruchni with a dover gashmi, it just doesn't go. So that's what Hashem did that was amazing. That's one pshat in Umafli La'asos. Okay, so he talked about that, and then he talked about he's building out. And I'm sorry, I'm repeating myself. You let me know. Not in the class, after class. And then he says, and every topic, you have to understand, especially nowadays, every topic you could spend a year on, every word in here, and we're surrounded by miracles. And then he builds out. He says, okay, and now Hashem created protection for those things that carry the neshama. Hey, I never thought of it that way. And there's bones and skin and flesh, and these are and hair and fingernails. So we touched upon a little the other amazing things that these body parts do, what I just said. But the Chavis of Others presents it as protection, and we saw that the hair taka protects, and the fingernails taka protect, and the skin taka protects. And I guess I would say, according to the Chavis HaVavos, that's their primary function. I mean, Hashem is Chavis HaVavos is saying that's the primary function, is to protect the part of a person which is the seat of the neshama. But if you, again, if you study each thing individually, you'll learn how, it can't repeat it too many times, because the world is full of atheism, and everything we see, they don't call it atheism, but everything we see, it's a battle and a struggle, because everything we see is normal. It's going like, who thinks? We're gonna talk today about childbirth, and you're gonna say, hey Rav, hey, like, what do you know about childbirth? But it's, I have to tell you, I don't think you know what we're going to learn today. Just like I don't know, unless I study it, I eat plenty of food, as you could see. But I don't know what goes on when I eat food. So you can give birth and not know what goes on. The miracles that take place, it's nisim. And you say, how can someone not believe in Hashem? It's like, I don't believe. Everything is so complex. Everything happens at the right time. Right? We're going to learn today that a hole from one part of the heart to the other, which oxygenates the blood system of a fetus, right? But when you're living, it goes from one part of the heart to the lung, down to the other part of the heart. And by a fetus, the lungs are not working. Lungs are not working. The first time it works is when you hear that cry. The lungs are not working, and it goes from one part of the heart to the other part of the heart, and there's a chalol there. Chaludim, chaludim. There's a hole. And when the baby's born, it magically closes. I say magically because no one told it to close. It's not There's no timer there. It's not a lid that closes. It just closes. Who closed it? And if it would stay open, and sometimes it stays open, and the baby needs an operation. Because sometimes it does stay open. But then you say, wow, one in a million, or whatever it is. But it closes. And like, who's closing it? Who tells the baby to come out? He's going to say now, he just almost flippantly, and when it's time to come out, he comes out. And you know, there's labor, and there's three stages of labor, and it, you know, then it's a whole ASEC, and the body is preparing itself. Slowly, slowly pushing, the baby comes. Who's doing all that? Who's doing it? Nature. It's a joke. So he wants you to, this is Bechina, really. You can spend your whole life just doing, I'm in love with Shara Bechina. You know, it's just, and you see Chochma, wisdom, Chesed. I studied today, and I learned about labor. In the third stage of labor, the contractions come further apart, so that the mother could rest, because she's working much harder, much harder, because and it's much tougher on her, so she gets more time to rest. So the contractions actually slow down as they become more intense to allow her to rest. And that's how it works. Someone did that. There's a planner, it's Masudar, it's Chesed, it's complex, amazing complexity, and it all fits, and it takes us from, yes, there is a Hashem, to how can we ever thank Hashem enough for, because he did all these miracles so that I should be sitting here now. And this is just, I'm sorry. The lover starts the paragraph by saying, you know, I gave you a list of seven areas that you can do this to. Each one would take you your whole lifetime. But he starts with Perikei and says, you know, let's take the thing that's closest to us, that we relate to the most, because that'll be the easiest to do. Let's take the human being. Let's take the biology of a human being, the physiology of a human being, the emotions of a human being. Let's take every man, and we'll, and that's, and he says, because or else the safer would be, you know, 10 college textbooks, just touching the surface of the seven things he mentioned in Perek Dalid, and he brought down a pasuk, Amudeha Chotzfa Shiva. There are seven pillars of wisdom in the world. Seven pillars of wisdom. Zoology, plant life, Torah, history. He said there are seven things that you study, seven disciplines, seven courses you take to know everything. You know, it's just amazing. It's okay. Okay, so we're surrounded by miracles.
So did he say you should study those pillars?
He says that should be your career in life. That should be your life's goal, to study them. We don't. It's sad. When would we? You say, wait a second, my kid's coming home. I have carpool at 1. And a man says, if I study that, they'll throw me out of yeshiva. You know? Yeah. That's why so few people do, and that's why there's a good cartoon from Charlie Brown. So it's Charlie Brown. You know, I don't have to tell you who Charlie Brown is. So Lucy's like berating Linus. There's a lot of chachma there. It's not for nothing that he was a gadol. He wasn't a very nice person. He wasn't a very moral person, if you read a biography about him. But he was a guy. And he didn't have Torah. It's not a question of a guy. He didn't have Torah. So he did things that people do when you don't have Torah. But he was a brilliant man. So Lucy's like berating Linus because he's getting C's on his report card. And so he's saying, look, I'm an average boy and I live in an average house. C is average. Remember, C used to be average. Now they give the average kids the A. And the good kids get the A+. And if you punk good, you get A++. And if you fail, you got a B. But the regular, that's how it is now, right? Grade creep. Bracket creep. You know, bracket creep in the taxes. You have bracket creep. So here you have grade creep. And Chas v'Shalom, you can't make a person fail. They'll feel bad. They'll feel bad. And then they'll go off to Derech, and then who knows what it'll be, because you failed him. He also will learn that you don't have to work to be successful. That's another thing he'll learn. That he'll learn well. That he'll get an A on. Anyway, so he says, I'm an average boy in an average school, an average family. And so I got a C, not average. So she says to him, you know, what shape would the world be in, and everybody, if everybody was just satisfied with being average? So he looks at her and he says, what shape is the world in? So, you know, you say we should learn Shaar HaBechina, and we don't, and that's why maybe the world looks like it looks. So I had all big plans for today, but then I started talking, which is always very dangerous. So I just brought you up to date, right? And then I want to learn inside, and I'm just going to touch upon things as much as Rabbi Miller does. Rabbi Miller, they now made a Chavis, they started printing Chavis Halvavus, and someone started transcribing the tapes. So they did the Hakdama to the Sefer, and they did Shaar HaBechina. He doesn't go into the things we're going to go into, but he touches upon them, which is much more than the Chavis Halvavus touches upon them. He touches upon modern day science and what's known and how amazing it is. So I want to first learn the Chavis Halvavus up to a certain point, where up till he starts talking about breastfeeding, up till he starts talking about the miracle of where that milk come from. I'm sorry for laughing. It's a nace. It's mamish a nace. Why should there be milk there? Why should an animal have milk? Why should a cow have milk? Why should a goat have milk? Nobody drinks milk. I mean, they eat grass and they give milk. That's not a miracle. Show me a machine that could do that. Show me a machine that could produce milk from grass. Right? You eat food, and then there's glands in the body that produce milk so that you can nurture the baby. It's a nace. It's a nace, a nace, a nace. Anyway, we're going to get up till there. And then I would like to, with your permission, maybe you'll give me feedback, because I'm not going to get to it today. I did research, but I'm much more focused and much, like, threw out a lot, and I cut out a lot, and I erased a lot, so that it could be very focused and as short and concise, not short maybe, but concise as possible. And I worked on it, but if it's just, I don't know, please be, you know, if it's just, I don't know, boring, you know, you'd rather learn the Sefer, and we can go weiter and learn how a child grows up. So, okay, you'll let me know. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm not going to wait for you to answer me. You'll have to tell me not to do it. First, I want to learn a couple of lines that we really learned already, but I want to do it with Rabbi Miller so that we can get a greater appreciation. But this is like on a very superficial level, on a very basic level.
Is that Avigdor Miller you're talking about?
Yeah, Rabbi Avigdor Miller. That's all. And then I'll go back and, like, show you how the Shaar HaBechina angle of it, in I can't say in its full glory, because that would be ridiculous, but it's just like a drop more than Rabbi Miller did. And it's again, everything we say is infinitesimal compared to the reality, and it's just, it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. You go out of my mind. I mean, that, you know, that's why the Rambam says, you know, you develop Ahavas Hashem when you think about these things, and then the Rambam describes you being lovesick towards Hashem, and he says, and if you just keep thinking about it, and you go, you're madly in love. You go mad with love, the Rambam says. You become like a meshugana, he says, you know, and you become like these novels describe, where the person goes around, like, you know, in love. And he says, you're in love with Hashem. That's what the Rambam describes at the end of Hilchos Tshuva. Because all these things, every one of them is so amazing. It's just, so at least let's make a bracha differently. Here, you see this? Zero is a state of mind. That's what it says on the Coke can. So that's, I don't know what it means, but I'm not sure I like it. It's not the, it's not exactly Shara Habachina. Zero is a state of mind.
I mean, mind is empty.
Yeah, zero is empty. I mean, it describes the modern world pretty well. So it's a good advertising slogan. You know, zero is a state of mind.
As it says. They also said
FS, right? Zero. No, it's a trademark. I don't know how you can trademark the word zero. I'm shocked. You can't trademark the word zero. You're a lawyer. You can't trademark the word zero. It's a word. Yeah, Coca-Cola Zero. How could they trademark the word zero? Anybody? It's R means a trademark, yeah? R is registered. Registered trademark. How can you register the word zero?
Together with Coke.
But here it's plain. Zero and there's a little R by it.
How can you? Zero, Coke is the only one that...
But you can't, you can't trademark a word. You can't trademark a word.
Maybe
it's a word. It's a word. A word, zero. I don't know. Tzarechia, you're a lawyer.
Yeah, but
get me the answer. By next Sunday, I want an answer.
Okay.
No, but here it's not like that. So they had no right to put the R there.
Sentence like that, the 9/11 there, that man said, let's roll.
Okay, maybe a sentence, but a word? Okay. Anyway, it's not a state of mind. Not a state of mind for a good Yorei Hashem, Oved Hashem. Okay, so we're going to start from the words, and again, let's get to a point and just use Rabbi Miller. And then we'll go back and elaborate. So after he talks about the protectors of the parts of the body that are the connection to the neshama, so now he's going through life again. V'achaka chashov, think about, which is what he wants you to do. B'chanos abori yisale, Hashem, the kindness. Chanos is from the word chanina. B'chanos, how he bestows upon us kindness, habor yitzala b'hanagasu esa adam, how, and he's going to talk about the development of man. That's what he's talking about now. How he guides ha'adam, he means he guides his development. Asher somlo, and he wants you to think about it. Asher somlo beten imo l'matzo, he's in his mother's womb. Matzo means a couch, but chilas and yano. Remember how... It's nothing, I think, for the first week. It's mamish nothing. And I said for the first 40 days, it's legally nothing. But for the first, I don't think they even connect for the first few days. The father's and the mother's zera to form anything. I don't think they're still like just, you know, hanging around. And they don't even connect. And then they connect. The zygote is a word, Z-Y-G-O-T-E, and whatever.
It's a little ball of cells.
Yeah. But then, I mean, he's not. We're gonna go, the whole gestation period. He doesn't talk about. He just says he's in his mother's womb. He's very protected. The fetus is very protected. Kadesh yiyeh b'mokom shomur, and he's the most protected of all. Mammals. Look upon him. He's certainly the most protected. Maybe he's equal to other animals that have like a uterus and a fetus and a womb. But it's in a very protected place. We're protected from the elements, protected from being hit, protected from all sorts of things, from bacteria. Mokom shelo tasigehu yod, can't get to it. V'lo yagia elav lo chom v'lo kor, it doesn't feel heat or cold. Im hamogen hachozok v'hamachse hanivtzor, with the shield of its mother's body. The protection, hachozot, strong, the machse, hanivtzar, the fortified shelter. So that is a subject of study, but again, we're just reading the words now. V'yim hamozon hamazumen, and just, you know, it's just amazing, it gets food, it gets nourishment, it's growing, it needs nourishment to grow. V'holich v'godol, and he's in this protected place, and it grows, and it keeps getting food, at sheyechzak, until it's strong enough, al hatnua b'hatnuda, until it's strong enough to start moving around, and it starts kicking and it starts moving. Im ha'go'oso el mazono b'liyagia v'torach, and this whole time it gets its food without any effort on its part, because it can't do anything to get its food. Huchan lo, it's prepared for it, b'mokom ha'shalu yuchal adam l'giyei lo b'shem ponim. It's in this place, in a safe zone, safe house. V'chala she'yigdal gufo yir b'mazono ad eis kotzuv. That's a miracle. As it needs grows, because its body grows and it needs more nourishment, it magically gets more nourishment. So nothing needs to be said until the set time when it's ready to come out. Like even, you know, that just rolls off our lips. It grows and grows and grows, and when our averages, you know, the average birth we're talking about, so it can now survive outside the womb without, you know, miraculous scientific intervention, but a normal normal birth, now it's ready to be outside the womb with all the things in the world that are attacking it. It's nothing. It's totally helpless for the first few days, weeks, months. Slowly, and the Chavis HaVadus will talk about that is all carefully planned by Hashem, why it takes so long for a human being to get independence, and why it's so, a human being, the baby, the child is so helpless at first, and all of its, you know, an animal like ready to roll. A human being can't see very well, can't hear very well. He's going to say in a second, nothing's really working but the sense of touch, but the sense of touch and the sense of touch, that's another thing, but and taste. The only things working in a baby when it's born is touch and taste. Nothing else is working yet. It takes time.
I don't think that's the current knowledge. The current knowledge is the baby's hearing the mother's heartbeat in the womb.
If it doesn't hear it properly, in the womb is a different story. It's part of the mother.
Yeah, but if you play the heartbeat sound to a baby, it soothes.
It doesn't hear properly. It doesn't hear. It goes in the wrong direction. They have tests now because they're very sophisticated tests. But he says the only thing that's properly working. We'll examine it. We'll see.
Why the digestive system?
It can't take anything but the milk.
You can't give the baby a hamburger.
No, but I'm saying it'll urinate.
But it's not. It's still developing. It's in the process.
The senses. Okay, we'll get to it. We'll learn. He says of the five senses. We're going to learn everything. I'm going to go into everything. I studied everything. I mean, I did the research. We're going to see. Now I just want to get somewhere with the basic. Right. So now Rabbi Miller speaks out. When it's inside the mother, the blood that flows through the umbilical cord into its navel, fed it with all kinds of nutrients, the baby is not yet ready to eat. The nourishment is piped down to it through the umbilical cord in accordance with its needs. At the beginning it uses very little, and later it uses more and more. And the author, that's the Chavis HaLevavos, expresses wonder that the amount of food that's piped down to the baby increases as the baby grows. At first, the baby takes very little nourishment from its mother, but as it grows, the amount of nourishment increases. How does that happen? Each stage of the development, and I did the research, it's embarrassing to say it's so true, but it, you know, even when you get super-duper sophisticated, way, way, way beyond anything the Chavis HaLevavos could have dreamed of, these words are still true. Each stage of development is governed by a rigid time schedule, which is followed by both the mother's body and the growing baby, and they're in tandem with each other. That's a miracle, and again, it demonstrates the existence of a divine plan. It takes weeks and months for the baby to develop step by step. Each step is performed at its designated point in time. And then when the baby reaches full term, the whole system changes, like an explosion, an earthquake. Let's go vaydum. The achar kach, we're gonna come back to everything, b'li nedar. Yetze mi beten imo. I mean, how does it get out? Right? I mean, it's a nace. It's a nace that the mother's body now undergoes changes, and it gets soft, and an opening opens up. He wants you to think about these things. Who turned the key? Who pressed the button? There's no button. Yetze mi beten imo al derech tsar, through a very you know, through a very narrow passageway. Mibli tachbula, she is chakim bolotzei. So it's not Houdini, you know. Houdini figured out how to get out of tight spots. Baby is not Houdini. He didn't figure anything out. Nothing's really helping it. It's an actual process, right? The whole midwives and birth coaches and labor coaches and doulas and nurses. It's all great, but it doesn't have to be that way. It's a natural process, right? Women used to give birth, you know. Ela biyicholas hachochom harachum v'hachanun hakadosh baruch hu. And this is really in the Gemara that birth is tchias hameisim. Birth is Hashem is personally involved. Mafteach shel chaya, the Gemara calls it, the mafteach of a midwife of birthing, is beyan Hashem. He doesn't even give it over to a malach. It's like death. You know, it's like a transition from a whole different, it's a different state. And I have a list here of things that change in the body, in the baby's body, like boom, amazing. And some say that's the pshat nasha yatsar, by the way. Is referring to birth, that what's open closes, what closes opens, and if what's supposed to close would stay closed. And what's supposed to open, I'm sorry, if what's supposed to open would stay closed, and if what's supposed to close would stay open, EF Sharlis Kaim Vilamod Lefanecha. And he says, because that's the gears of Afilu Shoachas. I don't know if you people say Afilu Shoachas. See, if you don't say Afilu Shoachas, so then, okay, because, you know, but if you say Afilu Shoachas, but that's not true, like I can not go to the bathroom for a couple of hours. So some say that the pshat and the bracha, if you say afilu shoachas, is referring to birth, that the baby couldn't even exist shoachas, it couldn't exist even a minute, if this would stay open and this would stay closed, it couldn't exist. Al kaponim, Hashem is the midwife. Hashem is the midwife. That's a gemara. That's a gemara. You don't need to have some lovers for that. Mafteach shel chaya is beyond Hashem. Now I'm going to read from Rabbi Miller. Of course, we have midwives and obstetricians, but a woman can give birth without any help at all because the entire process is directed from heaven. Birth occurs at the designated time when the conditions are right. The walls of the uterus become softer and more pliable. The passageway is remarkably enlarged so that a large baby comes out. It's a miracle. Every aspect of the delivery is governed by a divine plan. During the birth, the baby's head is pliable and rubbery. It may even be compressed as it comes out. We're going to see a lot more about this. The baby's head may be a little elongated when it appears, but after a while it regains its proper form. If the baby's skull was hard, like that of an older person, it wouldn't be able to get out. But since it's soft, it yields. The mother's tissue is also soft and yielding. And together a miracle takes place so that a living baby emerges from a small aperture, if I'm pronouncing it right. It's almost as though we can see Hashem with our own eyes when we think about these things. Now the Chayav Zalvavus quotes a pasuk that talks about how animals can give birth. Animals have no midwives or obstetricians and they're still able to give birth. Kamo she'omar le'iyov b'ktsaz b'alechayim bilti medabrim, animals, not people, hayodato. This is Eov's friends talking to him when he thinks, you know, this is Eov. Maybe it's a fictional story, the Gemara says. But I wanted you to be able to drink my wine if I touched it. The Gemara says maybe it's a fictional story. Eov's complaining, and he's, you know, because he's a tzaddik, and all these terrible things are happening to him. And he's saying, you know, maybe Hashem made a mistake. Maybe he mixed up the files. He put me in as Oyev, not as Eov. This is in the Gemara. The Gemara has a deeper meaning, but that's, you know, he put me, and he filed it on the Oyev, not on the Eov. So all these things are happening to me. And then his friends, his three friends, or four friends at the end, launch into like detailed description of Shar HaBechina type stuff. If you ever learned Eov, they describe nature and the miracles of nature, and they do a Shar HaBechina dance, and they say, hey, if Hashem does A, B, C, D, E, F, G, X, Y, Z, he didn't mix up Eov and Oyev. So one of the psukim in that vein is Hayodata Eis Ledes Ya'ale Sala. Do you know the time when it's time for the who knows when it's time for the mountain goats to give birth? They live in seclusion, right? So who's going to help them? Cholel Ayolos Tishmor. Ayol is a female deer. Ayol with a komatz under the yud, not a chirik. Ayol is a female deer, a hind. It's called H-I-N-D. Do you know the labor pains of the ayol, and you can time it, and you know the schedule? Tispor Yerochim, who counts the months as these animals come to term? Tamaleno Viadata Aisli Datana, and you know when they're supposed to give birth. Who knows? Now I'm reading from Vaimila. Who knows the time that animals should give birth? Who's there to supervise the process and make sure it turns out according to schedule? And so Hashem is on hand even for the wild animals. Despite the complexity of the process, animals succeed in giving birth, because Hashem has arranged in his system that every species is able to survive. We see here that the process of being born is a matter of timing, engineering, and planning by Hashem, which, I mean, you know, it's you just do a little research and you'll see, and I want to learn it. He says, and therefore, we have an obligation to think about it. Remember, he started off the paragraph, Chashov. Every human being was personally involved in this process, unless some of you have been cloned, I don't know. And every human being should be grateful to Hashem that he or she were born. There are sometimes complications in the birth process, causing the baby to lose some of its natural properties. The baby can be born brain dead, you know, all sorts of things happen. But the majority of cases, the overwhelming majority, I would say, are so expeditiously executed that the baby comes out perfect and unharmed. And so everyone needs to thank Hashem. The author, he keeps calling the Chavis HaLovas the author, is speaking to all of us, not just to scientists or professionals. You have to be grateful to Hashem that you were born, and that the mercies of Hashem cause you to develop safely through the various stages of prenatal development. If any one of the stages had been obstructed in any way, it would have been impossible for you to be born as a normal child. You would have been created as a defective being. You wouldn't have been created at all. And all of the processes were performed with perfect precision. You have to acknowledge to Hashem that He's our creator, the great designer who caused us to come into existence perfectly with the abilities that only Hashem is able to provide. There are multitudes of additional things that the author could have mentioned about the process of birth, which we will, Be'ezus Hashem. For instance, when the baby is still in the mother, the blood immediately passes from one side of its heart to the other without entering the lungs. There's a small opening between the two sides of the heart for this purpose. But as soon as the child is born, the opening closes immediately and permanently. From that point on, the blood passes from one side of the heart directly to the lungs, and after passing through the lungs, it's routed back to the other side of the heart. This change of the blood routing takes place in the fraction of a minute. Such a sudden change could not be explained as an unintended natural process. It was planned that the hole should immediately close up. On rare occasions, the hole doesn't close up as it should, and an operation is needed to close it surgically. Ordinarily, however, the hole closes immediately and forever. Who closes it? How does it close? The mechanism to accomplish this is mysterious, because it's not a valve or a flap that opens and shuts periodically. It's an opening that becomes sealed at just the right moment when it's no longer needed. Stop there.